guys. Welcome into Stacking Dubs, aka Stacking L's these days. Warriors lose another one. Quite frankly, this team just doesn't have the juice. You could have pointed earlier in the year to the scheduling and blame the tiredness and all that, but that's no longer something we can point the finger at. Just had 3 days off after several days off over the between the last few games. They're 0-3 off of great rest. Lose to another team missing probably their one of their best players in Jalen Green, and you lose to the Suns, and it feels like there is just very little hope for this team to be anything better than a 500 team for various reasons. We'll discuss a few of them, and it was a lot of the same demons that have been plaguing this team. You do what you can to kind of get around some of them. Defense was slightly better in this, but for the most part, only one star really shows up, Jimmy Butler. You get some contributions from Pods, which is just, you know, very inconsistent. And you turn the hell out of the ball over again. You can't make open shots despite having good shot creation and getting good looks. And it's just a lot of the same thing. You're just finding ways to lose in the clutch, particularly because the defense and the offense is just not there late in games. Let's get this out of the way. Dylan Brooks is just the biggest villain in the NBA. And I know most people would say Draymond Green, but I won't, because as much as Draymond is pissing me off these days with all the terrible turnovers, Dylan Brooks is just an a-hole. He punches Steph in the stomach, gets a flagrant foul, almost costs his team the game because Warriors have a 5-point possession, take the lead on or tie the game on that with under a minute left to go. Dylan Brooks comes down, takes a three to potentially win the game, barely glances off the bottom of the backboard, but the Warriors in rebounding pick up a phantom foul call, and the refs basically gift the Suns the win with two free throws. Pretty upsetting, pretty frustrating after all that for the game to end that way. Did the Warriors deserve a break there? Probably not. Did they deserve to win this game? No, but they could have. But not going to do the Warriors any favors right now. Again, they're just putting themselves in harm's way, and this is what happens when you just aren't much better than a 500 team. Consistent trends, man. I mean, I'm just going to go to number one, most obvious. It's just the turnovers. It's 20 turnovers. Again, terrible, unforced turnovers, oftentimes at half court where it's just, you know, a lazy pass or a guy just steps into the passing lane or you lose your dribble. Suns had 30 points off of turnovers, including 8 straight points off turnovers in the clutch while the game, I think we had a 1-point lead before the 3 or 4 straight turnovers. We had to get a challenge just to save that 4th turnover. Lose 22-6 in fast break points. And if you remember what I said in the last video, you know, lack of athletes, lack of wings, you know, our transition game has just been poor, particularly on offense. You just can't get out and run. But the turnovers have a lot to do with that on both sides. Let's just call out some individuals for turnovers. Draymond Green, 5 turnovers, which is a huge improvement on last game, which was 8 turnovers. And again, all of them are just pretty bad, unforced, unneeded turnovers. Where you're trying to be a hero. You're trying to do too much. You shouldn't have the ball in your hands that much to begin with, unless you're playing two-man with Steph. And yes, Draymond can make great passes that lead to buckets, but oftentimes you're just canceling one good pass out with a turnover that did not need to be thrown. You're throwing ahead passes when you're, even if you complete the pass, it's going to be like 1-on-2, 1-on-3 anyway. So what's the risk reward here? Draymond, it has to be better. He's acknowledged it. Kerr's acknowledged it. Everyone's acknowledged it. It has to be much better, Draymond. Otherwise, you know what? You can go stand in the corner and shoot threes and even then stop shooting so many threes. Buddy Hield, 2 turnovers in 10 minutes. Bad turnovers, again, unforced around midcourt, led to points immediately. And in a much smaller sample size, GP2, you played 3 minutes and you had a turnover. I don't understand how that happens. You I mean, if you're playing 3 minutes, if you're anybody, you shouldn't have a turnover, let alone someone who doesn't really handle the ball much. But that's just kind of picking on GP2 here. But my point is that I looked up and down the roster. Everyone had a turnover for the most part. I forget who didn't have one, but essentially most people had two turnovers. And again, a lot of those are in limited minutes. A lot of those are in guys that don't have the ball much. It's centers, it's bigs, it's guards, it's everyone. You're turning the ball over too much. And it's ridiculous because this lineup is basically made up of mainly guards. And yet, with so many guards on the roster, you can't handle the ball. And you also can't make threes. You can't shoot very well. And you can't play perimeter defense. So, what really even is this roster? It's just wildly frustrating that you're built on these on a skill based, speed based position, but you can't do any of those things well. The other thing, I don't know if you probably saw the stat before between the last few games, but Warriors shot quality based on B-ball index, Warriors are getting the fifth best shot quality. So in terms of like nearest defender, just kind of the quality of shots you're getting, either shots either at the rim or open threes, top five in the NBA. So it shows that, hey, Steph Curry still has that gravity working, still probably one of the best engines in terms of shot creation for his teammates in the league. Jimmy Butler hasn't been quite as good this year in terms of shot creation, but it just shows that, hey, the offense in theory works. You're getting the shots that you want. You're just not making them. And it's personnel, it's inconsistent shooting. You can call it slumps, you can call it whatever you want, but through basically a third of the season now, I mean, you can't just call it a slump. It's just guys that don't make shots. And you thought you'd surrounded this roster with better shooting in the offseason. Horford's been gone. Melton just got here. Seth Curry hasn't really played. You're just missing shots. You're putting guys like Post and Moody into that starting lineup and playing them big minutes, being your wide open shooters. And they go 3 for 16 at 18% tonight on pretty much all wide open threes. And the Warriors shoot 29% from three, and they hold the Suns to 29% from three, and you still lose this game. I don't know. It's hard to say that that's a correctable thing. It's just shot making. It's the NBA these days. It's a make or miss league, and the Warriors miss a lot of shots. And the saddest thing about that is that you have Steph freaking Curry. You're number five in shot quality, and Steph is in a league of his own in terms of taking the hardest, most difficult shots, and obviously takes the most shot volume on this team. So you got to think he's bringing down the actual shot quality on this team. They're probably like a top two, top three if you take away all of the tough shots that Steph takes. But obviously Steph is the best shot making player in the NBA. I think he's probably not, I think he's number one in terms of just shot making over expected. And yet the Warriors are still middle of the road in terms of shot making and just as an offense in general. And I forget the exact stat, but it was something like Steph is like 99th percentile in terms of shot making over expected, and his teammates are in the bottom 1% in terms of shot making. So you do the math, you're an average offense there, despite Steph doing everything he can. You were basically a G League at best offense without Steph. It's just wildly frustrating. The defense, slightly better, pretty good in the first half. Held Booker to like 2 points. Can't get stops in the clutch. You can point your finger at whatever you want there. I mean, are we going too small? Went a little bigger this time in the clutch. Didn't really seem to help. I think the stat was like we're 25th in the league in terms of defensive rating in clutch games. They're not going to win many games doing that. I'm surprised we're even 500. Kerr, what he did this game in terms of subs, shorter substitution patterns, at least in that first half, seemed to infuse a little bit more energy. He basically played everybody other than Will Richard, which Will Richard should play. I mean, we can talk about how he's just because he's a rookie, he's not playing, but that's a terrible excuse. And I cannot support that statement by Kerr. You've got to play Will Richard. But that being said, played everybody but Pat Spencer because he was, but Will Richard and then Pat Spencer was out on personal excuse. seemed like better energy in that first half, seemed like, good effort rebounding and on defense. And also he played more front court players. TJD played like 7 minutes. Kuminga played, we'll talk about that in a second. Gui Santos played like 14 minutes. And they're all pretty good. And, I think that helped defensively, just having that size in there. Obviously not good enough, and especially in that clutch. Looking at, some of those front court players, because I thought it was something to build on, and hopefully it's based on, this game, it's something that we're going to continue to go to and just play with a little bit more size, because you see that it can positively impact the game out of your role players. I thought Gui Santos was really good. Again, 14 minutes, he hit both of his 3-point shots, had 5 rebounds, had a couple really nice assists. Just gives you that energy that he always does, and just kind of keeps the ball moving. I think he's a very effective spacer. He knocks down open threes. It's a quick, good-looking release. And at that power forward position, he is probably the best floor spacer out of our fours there. So I'd like to see him continue to get more minutes. Got to move your feet a little bit on defense, but at least he gives you a little bit of size there. And yeah, I'm okay continuing to give Santos some minutes as long as he keeps kind of playing how he's been. And you can give him that 10 to 15 minutes and see what you got there. TJD, solid 7 minutes, like I said, but he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And then Jonathan Kuminga, welcome back to the rotation, played 2 stints of about like 5 minutes each. I thought he rebounded well. I thought he moved the ball well. The ball didn't stick with him other than like late shot clock, and that's fine there, although he didn't really convert as a scorer late shot clock. Still a little bit, still clearly out of rhythm on offense, and we know that that will and can come, and that's just part of what he's done well in the past, but hasn't been there lately. But seems to be working well on his weaknesses. Again, that's the rebounding and then the passing. He had one late shot clock, kind of attacks the paint, gets into the paint, finds a cutting baseline Gui Santos. Gui Santos cutting along the baseline, who then kicks it out to Buddy for a three. Also, just late shot clock, probably caught the ball 2 seconds left, and instead of forcing up a bad three, just moves it quickly to Gui, who knocks down the three. Also had a nice cut, did Kuminga off of Jimmy Butler, and Kuminga kind of cuts mid key and then knocks down that midy there, which I'm fine with him taking that one when you're open and in rhythm. So a few things to build on there, and I think we'll see Kuminga kind of continue to get minutes, because my whole point here out of this whole video is that Warriors kind of are what they are. They're struggling, and really at this point, there's no magic lineup, there's no magic rotation that's going to make this team a contender. So really the priority in terms of what I'm thinking at this point is you got to just build up Jonathan Kuminga's value, build him up as a trade piece, give him more minutes, put him in position to succeed. Obviously try to win some games as you go, but you have, what is it, like 8 or 9 games until that January 15th deadline. Kuminga's value is not at an all-time low, but it's pretty down there. Maybe there's the you do have some interest around the league from like the Kings, the Suns, and you don't want to rock the boat too much because there is at least some interest. But if you're going to make a move that essentially puts you into contention, you're not going to get a Giannis. You're not going to get Giannis, but you're not going to get a Trey Murphy. You're not going to get any of these kind of like fringe all-star players unless you build up Kuminga's value and put all the picks on the table. In that same breath, you got to build Pods' value up, and I mean, you play him as much as you do anyways, but Pods needs to build up his own value and continue to play well. I thought what Pods actually did, the one silver lining, is he was very decisive in this, whether it was, hey, I'm catching, I'm going up with a shot, or I'm catching, I'm attacking, and I'm just being more deliberate with what he's doing, getting to the paint, committing to attacking, either getting to that elbow, looking for his shot, which he knocked down well. And he's the ultimate confidence player. He comes off with unlimited confidence, but you can see when he's missing shots, he tends to play poorly across the board. So play with confidence, and one shot builds upon another. Put a good streak together. Hopefully that doesn't take him off the trade block in terms of the Warriors' eyes, but build him up, build Kuminga up. Go get somebody who can score consistently using Steph Curry's gravity and the good shot creation that the Warriors have. Go get someone who can finish the play and knock down these shots. That's all I got, guys. Wanted to get that one out there. I know we're hurting right now, but we're heading into the holidays. Miracles do happen. We don't stop believing. I'll be off. I'm going up to the Bay Area next week, so not bringing my microphone with me, but I will be at that Magic game on Monday, and hopefully that will be after we beat the Suns. This next game will be a two-game win streak after that. Anyways, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, you filthy animals. I will probably talk to you before the new year. Until then, I've been Christian. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.